Ephesians chapter 6, we'll just start at the beginning. Verse 13. Sorry, I know everybody just flipped back. Sorry. Okay, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then verse 16 is what we're going to cover today. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So we're going to be dealing with the topic of faith today. Faith today. I'm going to pray us in real quick, and then we'll get moving. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity, as always, Lord, just to get together and spend some glorious time in your word. Spend some glorious time thinking about you. This is always a refreshing time for me, and I pray it is for everybody in this room, Lord, where we get to take 5 minutes and think about something that isn't earthly, something that isn't going to die here in a few years, but something that is going to be eternal. And I pray you just help us commit all these things to our memories and to our hearts. Help us to just really connect with your word in such a way that, you know, we can go throughout the rest of the week with this and chew on it and think about it and hopefully grow closer to you in our walks, Lord. And I pray you just bless this night. Give me the words to say, and amen. All righty. So, kind of opening question, just kind of a weird topic. I mean, what is faith? Anybody have a quick answer to that question? That's a hard thing to answer. Just think about it with yourself right now. Marcella, you're welcome to take a stab.
Like what you believe in.
Yeah. Makes sense.
I don't know.
No, that's a fair definition. Bryson, what you got?
Faith is like putting in your belief or putting in your trust into something.
Okay. Yep. No?
Like, absolutely. More or less in a, like, I guess you could say, like, a Christian standpoint, like, putting your faith in God and putting your faith in, like, what the Bible says. Like, I'm putting my belief and putting my trust in what this says.
Okay, like a trust aspect to it, yeah. Xavier, you were first, and then Macy, I'll go after you. You raised your hand, right?
You said what I said.
Oh, he said what you said. Okay, Macy.
Sorry, Xavier.
Just, like, believing in something you can't necessarily see.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Okay, awesome. Good stuff. Flip to Hebrews 11. And I can feel that Hark the Herald Angels Sing in my throat. I can still, it was too high, man. I, like, did some permanent damage.
Good job.
That was rough. Okay, Hebrews 11, 1.
No, but you made us sound really good.
Hey, that's my goal. That's always my goal.
Good save.
Thank you. Yes, that's the two athletic things I've done today. That's a new record. Okay. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's kind of an interesting verse. It's one of those ones I've honestly sat and chewed on it. I've been chewing on it for, like, you know, the last 48 hours straight, just thinking about that. It's kind of an interesting phrase. The substance of things hoped for. What does that mean? Substance of things hoped for. I think about that, okay? The evidence of things not seen. You know, for a long time when I heard this verse, I would hear it as, faith is the evidence of things not seen. That means my faith proves the thing, right? And that's not true. We know that's not true, right? That's what, you know, your charismatics would preach, that my faith is proof that, you know, my fact faith feelings, my faith is in the feelings, right? So that's not what it is. I think, and what we're going to look at today, is that the evidence of things not seen, that's talking about the things not seen inside yourself, the evidence of what your true belief is. I would say that faith, instead of being, you know, the evidence of a belief, right? So Muslims have a lot of faith, more than us, right, a lot of times. Buddhists have faith, you know, the world believes sin's a good thing, right? The evidence of things not seen, if that means that the faith proves the belief, then all of them are just as right as us, right? But I think it's different. Faith is not the evidence for the evidence for the truth of your belief, faith is the evidence of your belief itself. That makes sense? I mean, we're going to go through a couple different stories today. Hebrews 11 is the great chapter on the Hall of Fame of God. And this is basically talking about all the people in the Old Testament and basically through faith, the amazing things that they accomplished. And honestly, I could try to give you a definition of faith, but the best way to understand faith is to look at these examples that the Lord has given us in this Hebrews chapter and just go look at the stories and think about them as if we were in those stories. I don't know if you guys remember when, you know, Dean came down, right? But how amazing was it that Thursday night when he just like took you through these stories and put you into the shoes of the people that were actually in the story, right? All of a sudden there was a new light of, oh, I get when you add a human aspect to this story, I put myself in these shoes, all of a sudden it makes a lot more sense. So hopefully that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at three different men in this chapter. And I don't have 3 points. I'm not trying to make any, I don't have a fancy outline for you this week. This week, I just want to take time looking at these stories and thinking about them. And we'll go from there. It's kind of interesting. I feel like my notes first started on this when I was listening to an interview from a kid. I don't know if it was the Charleston shooting. It was one of those church shootings down in the South, right? One of those mass shootings. And it was a kid that got interviewed and his mom had died. And so he was talking about faith in that moment. He was talking about what it means to have faith to him now. You know, how do you, they were, you know, the interviewer was asking him, like, you know, how do you trust in the Lord? How do you have faith in the Lord after, you know, your mom gets shot while you're in church, right? Like, that's a faith-rattling situation. Amen? Like, you know, that's rough. How do you do that? And so he said the phrase, there has to be something on the other side. And at first that didn't make sense, but then he explained. He says, you know, faith, he's like, I claim to have faith in God, but then, you know, I could never put my back to an open door, or I could never go outside without being scared, or I could never go throughout my day without being worried or concerned about things. And so he said, you know, in essence, what it means to have something on the other side, it said he realized his faith, he wasn't actually having faith, you know? And so he worked on himself and realized that once he actually got real and once he actually confirmed with himself, he said, you know what, I'm not having faith in the Lord right now. Then all of a sudden, because of that faith, he could now change his actions, right? So that faith produces an action. And so that's what he meant by there has to be something on the other side. You can claim to have faith in something, but true faith in something produces an action. And so I don't know, that phrase kind of stuck with me. And so that's what's going on with the three guys we're going to look at today. They all had faith, and then that faith produced an action. And so I think it's very interesting to look at just what these guys went through and put yourselves in their shoes. So we could read the whole chapter, but I'm going to jump on down to verse 7, starting with. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So Noah is the first character we're going to look at. You can go keep a finger here because we're going to obviously keep coming back to this passage. But flip back to, Genesis 6:13. I might even start in verse 12. My dog pooping, I'm going to grab some water. Secret preacher stash.
Secret preacher stash?
Yeah. Okay. So, going back to my point, I'm going to read this story a little bit, just God working with Noah. I don't know how long I'm going to read. We're just going to read it. But think about it, okay? Start putting yourself in his shoes. That's what we're going to start doing. Start thinking about it. Verse 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. And I'm going to skip, I think, a couple of these verses. You know, we don't need to look at the measurements. Verse 17, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after his kind. And, you know, and then verse 22 is the important thing. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So here's some interesting things. I want to just, let's just talk about this, right? Put yourselves in Noah's shoe. Okay, first of all, I don't know why we think people in the old, like back in the Old Testament are dumb, but think about this. At this point in time, Noah's like 500 years old. He's an old dude. He is like, he's lived a lot of life, okay? He's not some little dumb rugrat that's just like innocent and, you know, easily tricked. He knows what's going on. And so God comes down to him. Imagine yourselves in his shoes. Okay, God comes down, number one, and says, hey, the whole world's evil. And Noah probably goes, amen, right? Yeah, they're a bunch of awful people, right? He says, okay, I'm going to kill everybody on the earth except for you and your family. Like, it's a pretty intense statement, right? Right? I'm going to kill everybody that doesn't believe what I ask them to believe. Doesn't live the way that I tell them to live. I'm going to kill everybody. And the way that you're going to save your family is I'm going to have you make a giant boat. Okay, a giant boat. And Noah goes, well, I live like 6 hours train ride from the nearest lake body of water or ocean. Why do I need a boat? God goes, okay, well, I'm going to rain. I'm going to rain water down. You guys realize there hadn't been rain before Noah, right? The water bubbled up out of the ground. So he's never seen rain. I don't know where he lived. Who knows, right? But doesn't sound like he had beachfront property, right? So here's this guy. God says, okay, I want you to build a boat, a massive boat, huge boat. It's going to take you 100 years to build a boat. And then I want you, and I'm going to have two of every animal on the earth in that boat. Yeah?
Okay, just curious. Does it ever say, like, exactly how big the boat is?
Mm-hmm. It gives you measurements in there. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. They, there's people who've made recreations of it. Yeah. Little skipper boat for the bathtub. You know, rubber ducky sits on top, just perfect.
Little jet ski.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, but you guys tracking with me? Like, close your eyes. Imagine yourselves as Noah, right? Imagine yourselves as Noah, okay? God's told you all this crazy stuff, okay? Now, how much gumption, how much faith do you have to the point where you say, well, you know, I ain't got a ton of money, but I guess I'm going to have to start working overtime because I'm going to have to go buy lumber, right? You realize that Noah had, like, God gave him the plans, but God didn't, like, give him the plans, right? Noah had to fund this thing by himself, right? I mean, God paid for it, obviously, but you can't tell me that Noah probably didn't have to skip a meal or two while he was building a giant, you know, stadium-sized boat, right? Think about this. What do you think his neighbors would say, right? And I know we always joke about that, but think about it. Yeah, and so this all this while, he's preaching. He's preaching all this while saying, hey, God's going to kill everyone. Come onto my boat, because there's going to be water falling out of the sky, which has never happened before. It's funny, right? It's funny. Do you realize the amount of faith it would take? Put yourself in his shoes. Would you have the guts to start doing this thing? What you got, Jay?
He actually heard God talking to him, right?
Yes, it was audible.
But could other people hear
that? I mean, I assume it's audible. I mean, it doesn't say. It could have been in his head. It could have been through a vision. I don't know. It doesn't say. But
No.
God wasn't talking to anybody. Everybody was sinful. God couldn't talk to them all, right? There was, you know, that was, so I think, I know, I get where you're going. I like that thought. That's an interesting thought, but no, it's, No, he's in trouble.
Could also be that he started to go insane after a while because he's building this giant boat.
I would go mad building a boat, yeah. But no, but think about this. I mean, so everybody in your life, everybody, first of all, they all reject him. He doesn't get anybody saved. All those years of preaching, he's 600 when the flood comes. 600 years old when the flood comes. He doesn't win anybody to Christ except for his family. So not to Christ, but you know what I mean. He doesn't convince anybody of his position.
Just had a thought, because Jay made me think about it and not have a thought. So what if quite possibly, so you know how like people nowadays, like big preachers of like the mega churches, mm-hmm. they'll be like, oh, God gave me a vision, or oh, God spoke to me, but he really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like the reason why God spoke to people in the Bible is because, well, I mean, they were, you know, God-fearing, you know, Christians and everything. So, like, God spoke to those people. Of course, those people that, like, wrote what's in the Bible, like, he spoke to those people because they weren't sinners like the people that, like, people are now. Does that kind of make sense? So, like...
I get what you're saying.
You had just spoken, or you just said to Jay, of course, that, like, oh, he didn't just speak to anybody because, I mean, everybody were sinners. So that kind of made me think that possibly it was, like, when people say, like, oh, I spoke to God, they really didn't because God doesn't speak to anybody...
And you're right. I mean, so it is different now. But the main difference isn't because of the sin amount, right? Because one sin's enough to make you a sinner, right? I mean, technically, you know. The difference now is that he doesn't have to use those methods because us Christians have something that the people in the Old Testament didn't have. That's the Holy Spirit and the Bible, right? So this, it was a change in dispensation. Back in the day, they had scriptures, but they didn't have the Bible you and I have, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They had a version of the Holy Spirit that was kind of different. Actually, seven spirits, but I'm getting sidetracked, okay? But it was just a different dispensation, and that's just the way he worked. Because Israel, right, was physical. That before Christ came, everything he did was all based in the physical world. It was dealing with the nation of Israel, Abraham, Moses, whole nine yards. The battles they fought were physical, like the devil had armies and the Lord had armies, right? It was physical. When Christ died, it all switched to spiritual.
Oh, okay.
So that's also part of the change, is that God doesn't manifest himself physically to us right now outside of his word.
Oh,
so,
okay, cool.
Yeah. But anyway, going back to Noah, I mean, just think about this. So let's take a minute and think about, I don't know, I just wanted to write on the board. What are the hardest things? If you were Noah, what would be the hardest part of that task?
Building the boat.
No, you're not.
That is hard. Building the boat's hard.
Isolation.
Yes, you hit a point. So I don't know exactly how long it took him to build the boat. You can do some math with his kids and get an idea of an upper and lower end. But isolation, do you realize that, could you imagine what would happen if you just for, you know, 90 years, everybody thought you were just absolutely bonkers, right? He would be isolated from society. You know, he'd go to the Christmas party and everybody would be in the corner snickering at him, right? I mean, just think about, isolation, that's a really deep one. He was very isolated, I'm sure. Who's got one? Jordan?
Like the frustration of no one listening to you.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Yeah. What'd you have, Bryson?
I like don't know how to put it to words. I guess I was gonna be like doubtfulness.
I bet.
Like I bet like he was building this boat, he's like, is it really gonna rain?
It's been like 100 years.
It hasn't even rained once. What even is rain?
Well, yeah. No, I mean he had reason to doubt, right? This has never happened before. And I'll put this one. He had to have faith in something never seen. Okay? Jay, your hand was up next, or it's still up.
two things.
Okay.
Living to be 600.
True.
And then, you know, believing in God and being pretty much the only person around you in the world to be, you're the only person in that world that's worthy of being saved from complete destruction. I would think I was crazy. And then you're waiting 100 years for something to happen.
Totally. Absolutely.
And
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
so I'm kind of confused now. So, like, yeah, okay, Noah was, we're saying, what, 600?
600 when the flood hit, yeah.
How did this man manage to build a boat at 600 if, like, people in the, like, 80s and 90s struggled to do, like, basic...
People in the Old Testament lived longer. Yeah. Melchizedek. The atmosphere was different. So Noah's grandpa lived to 969 years. Yeah. So, and I won't... That's a good Thursday Bible question, or that's a good question for the box, because it'll get us off track tonight. Do it. Yeah, get it there. But yeah, time, people lived a lot longer in the Old Testament, certain parts of it at least.
Okay.
Go for it.
Two things. First thing is, like, for the hard border, whatever the heck you have going on in the board, like, people thinking you're going freaking insane because you're building a giant boat and it's never rained before. Yes. and then, I know you said this was a good question for the box. Do you know, like, the, like, why people live longer?
There's a couple theories on that.
Do you want me to put it in the box?
And put it in the box. There's a couple theories in that, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it has to do with the concept that the flood probably changed the atmosphere. So, something to do with cosmic radiation and mitochondria, but... Well, Erica.
Finding the flesh while being surrounded by sin.
Yes. Fighting the flesh in a world of sin. Yeah, could you imagine that, you guys? I mean, you guys live this every single day, right? You go to school, and how many of people around you believe exactly what you believe?
Or no, zero.
Pretty much none of them. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, just one or two more. What you got?
On the boat or like building boat?
Just this, in the whole process. I mean, mainly before the boat, but yeah. But anything. This.
So, like, if he was on the boat, his children.
Yeah. His children. That's true. I can't believe I've been on a stinking boat with you for 40 days. Gosh, like, this is the worst. Okay, last one, Jay.
Did the animals on the ark, did he eat the animals?
No.
Which ones do you like the least? Noah? Yeah.
No, like...
I believe, put that in the thing. I believe God has, like, he brings on food animals as well. He brings on extra to kill. So, yep. Okay. So are you guys kind of understanding, like, the position of Noah more at this point? Okay, really quick.
How would he cook the animals?
They had fire back then.
Fire would have to breathe. There's
a top on the boat, like where
it's not raining 24/7.
Bob said that they suffocated before the.
It's true.
Water was coming down.
He found a way. But no, we can talk about it. Okay, so. Okay, bringing it back in. All right. So, are you guys understanding a little bit more now? Noah's position, right? Do you understand? This is what faith is. Hebrews, flip back to Hebrews 11:1, right? I told you to keep it marked. I told you to be going back, right? By faith, Noah, right? He did all these things by faith, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So he got asked to do a hard task. He got asked to do something that would make people think he was crazy. He got asked to do something that doesn't make sense to anyone else. Are you guys seeing the parallels? Why did God give you him as an example to look to? That's why I put this on the board. When you isolate these things, okay, we don't have the issue of a boat. I can't, that doesn't relate to me. But the isolation, right? The frustration of nobody listening. You want to talk to your friends about God, but just no one cares. The doubt, right? I mean, we're all looking for something that hasn't happened yet. None of us have seen Jesus Christ come back yet. But we're all banking on it, right? We're a lot like Noah, that supposedly someday in the future this thing is happening, and we all have faith, and we change our lives because of it, right? Being the only person with God, like I talked about, that's you guys at school. Most people you interact with, not one of them is going to care a thing about God. People thinking you're insane, that's like us, right? Every single day. Fighting the flesh in a world of sin, that's a big one, right? When every single person around you wants to do sinful things, where school, you got peer pressure out the wazoo, and then you go to work, and all of a sudden, hey, we need to have you go develop some client relationships by going to a happy hour with this other company, right? Just everybody in the world is all about making you feed your flesh, right? So it's just, think about it, right? We're not the first people to have to deal with these things, but I think Noah had it a lot worse than us, right? But that's why I like these stories. That's why I like looking at them, because think about the amount of faith in God you would have to do the things Noah did. Do any of us think that if God said came down and said that to us, that we'd have the gonads to actually do that? I don't think I would. I think I'd die with everybody else. Right? Just something to think about. I don't know. Man, we only made it through one already? Okay. Fine. Okay. Well, we'll do my favorite now. We'll go to Abraham. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. So there's a lot of ways that God showed faith through Abraham. Okay, you got it.
Okay, I have a question.
Go for it.
So, I don't know if you're going to add this to your little, like, whatever that is. But, it wouldn't even be the flood that would scare me. It'd be loading, like, killer animals onto a boat with me.
I mean, that would take some faith, right? Like, you'd be like, the first lion would go past you and be like, I trust the Lord. Okay, we're fine. Okay, you know, right? Yeah, you're not wrong, right? There'd be stressful things about that.
Yeah.
Make it fast.
This has to do, like, it does have something to do with this, but, like, not, like...
Go for it.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
My chemistry teacher told me the flood killed dinosaurs.
Write it in. Write it in the book. It did. Write it in the book.
The box.
The box.
I mean,
the box.
No, but like, what we is? Elephants, why wouldn't we have dinosaurs?
That's true. There were dinosaurs.
I know.
But like,
they're also
yeah, but like in the Bible.
Why aren't they here today?
Oh, we'll talk about it. So it's a book. It's a one-page book. Okay. Okay. Hold that thought, Jay. I got to keep moving this morning, this evening. Agum. That tells you where my brain's at. Well, I'll catch up eventually. About 2 a.m, I'll start getting ready for lunch. Okay, Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Okay, flip back to Genesis 3, keep this page marked. We're just going to go look at where he gets told to do this. I would maybe, if I was a good Bible student, I would probably just put these cross references right in my Bible. One might think that would be a good idea.
Three what?
What did I say? Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Sorry. What should the next color be?
Purple.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to start going a little faster. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 says, Now the Lord hath said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and thee shall be, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Verse 4. So Abraham departed. Okay? I want you to think of this first thing, right? God says, hey, I've got a nation out there for you. I'm going to make you a mighty kingdom. First, here's what I need you to do. Leave every single person you've ever known. And head that way. That's all I got. He didn't even get it that way, I don't think. It was just, I'm going to show you. When we get there, start walking and I'll show you when you're there. That's what he got. Oh, you guys, how crazy that is? Now let's think about that. What are some obvious hard things from that situation?
Leaving everyone that you know.
I like my mom too much.
Is that black?
I'm colorblind, apparently.
birds.
I mean, I could maybe see blue, but how black did that?
Hey, one thing at a time. Okay, leaving family and friends. That would be difficult. That would be difficult. Did you have one?
Yeah, I was going to say leaving people you love.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, right? That'd be difficult.
Isolating yourself.
Yeah, once again, the isolation. Jay, you had your hand up?
Just like not knowing how far you're gonna walk or like where you're walking to, what's gonna be there.
Really? Unknown.
Yeah, not knowing where you're going. That's stressful. Where are you taking me? Yeah, that was nice over there. Can we just hang out? Jordan, what you got?
I just lost what I was
gonna say. Dadgummit. Okay, stop me if you think about it. Marcella?
How you wouldn't know like what's gonna happen to you.
Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't get any details.
Yep, unknown. Bryson, that might make you, Bryson and Jordan, it might be the last two.
This seems to be a reoccurring thing I'm realizing, which kind of goes along with the message is all about, but I mean, it's more or less just like having faith in the Lord and like, he's like, yo, do this. Don't like second guess it. Just be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because here's the thing, right? Could God have said, okay, on this day, I'm going to put you here and this is what you're going to do and here's the whole plan. Could he have done that?
Yes.
He could have. Why didn't he do it?
Because he wanted to test Abraham's faith.
Macy has it, right?
Yeah.
Same thing?
What she said.
What she said? Yeah, he wanted to test his faith. Here's a crazy one. I was realizing the other day. What?
Jordan.
Oh, Jordan.
It was just kind of along the same lines, like, knowing what good could come from it.
Yeah, yeah. What potential, like, benefits? I don't know. Like, I'm just going to put what good.
What good?
Yeah, no, like, you don't know, like, I don't know. Jay, you're the last one.
Okay, so did he have to take any, like, sorry, not that he could he take anything with him?
Or was he did.
Just like...
He took people with him.
He's, oh, okay.
Yeah, he had like his family and stuff.
Okay.
And his herds and whatnot. So he had a couple people, but like all of his kindred, all of his like his people, corporately, he had to leave. Yeah. So here is one, that was kind of interesting. I was thinking about that the other day, right? Okay. Mary and Joseph, right? Joseph, God didn't tell him right away that... Like, it was, he was, like, God had gotten Mary pregnant, right? There was, like, a night where Joseph was, like, standing there just like, how the heck is Mary pregnant? God could have told him before that, hey, I'm gonna get Mary a child, and she'll be my child, and it'll be my child, and his name will be Jesus. But he didn't.
Nope.
Have you ever thought about that? Why did God let Joseph sweat it out? I don't know. This probably goes right in line with what we've been doing today. Is if it's really fast, but I got to keep moving.
I thought you were asking a question, but I was just gonna say he probably like wanted to see how long it would take him to realize like, hey, maybe God had something to do with this.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, yep. Okay, so next up, go back to. We're gonna camp out there for a minute, right? So yeah, right? These are, once again, all things that you will be called to go through as a Christian. They really will. I remember Bob Gregg talking about how he, you know, when he became a member of Old Paths, his family was all down in California, right? And so he had to deal with the fact that, right, he moved 20 plus hours away from his family. Now, praise the Lord, we live in a time when you can fly. But you guys all know the grandparent that lives in town versus the grandparent that lives, you know, a flight away, which one are you closer to?
The one in town,
right? Exactly. And so he had to accept the fact that his kids would never know his parents, right? That's a rough thing. I'm going through the same thing right now, right? Kenzie and I left our families and all of our friends to be here, right? Why do you do stuff like that? Because there's a faith that the Lord's going to make it worth your while. The Lord says, go here. And you say, I believe you got my best interest in mind, right? That's why Abraham could do these things. And look at these lists. These are all completely relatable. Leaving friends and family. The Bible talks about, I've given this this verse not that far, or not that long ago, right? But if any man hate not his father and mother and sister and brother and you know, basically, if he doesn't basically hate his family in comparison to the Lord, right, you can't be his disciple. God has called us all up to, at the end of the day, to give up basically being around the people we want to be around if he calls us to be someplace else, right? Might have to move from your family. Old path dies, and all of a sudden, great, now we all get to, like, I don't know, move to New York or start a church or, you know, who knows? Who knows what the Lord would call us? But, you know, it might happen in your life. You might have to leave your family and friends to go be with the Lord, or you might have to not go with them, right? You might have to be in a location different than where you want to be. You might not be able to go to that cool college that's going to separate you from, you know, Bible study and church every week, you know, but I want that really cool degree in that college 10 hours away from here. Well, do you have more faith that the Lord can do something in your life if you stay in the place you're getting the Bible? Or do you have more faith that, oh, I want to go get that degree I want, right? These are the questions that, like, that's in your life. You have to make that decision in a few years, some of you guys, or even right now for some of you guys, right? It's hard. I don't like these decisions. You know, I'm glad I don't have to make those decisions again. I'm glad I'm here. But these are all relatable things. So hopefully Abraham is a little bit more relatable now. We'll do one more of his. Flip back to Hebrews 11. So this is talking about Abraham's wife, but this is also Abraham as well, kind of. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as in the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. So what's that saying, right? So I'll just kind of flip there real fast. I'm going to start going a little bit speedier. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. So we just know that God promised Abraham a land. He said, start walking. I'll show it to you. Next, he promised Abraham a seed. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is the Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham says, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is not mine heir. Abraham's bummed, right? He doesn't have any kids. No one's going to be able to carry on his line, right? And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that, or Abraham said, oh yeah, no, that's right. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he shall come forth out of thine own bowels, shall he be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou shalt be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And then Abraham is who it's talked about in verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So this is what got Abraham saved. Is believing that when God said, hey, I'm going to give you a child, even though you're sterile and your wife is ancient, like you and your both are too old to have kids, right? Now, like, how old are your grandparents? Like, what, 70, 80? Yeah. Okay. Like, Moses and Sarah have Isaac when they're 100, right? Like, I don't know if you guys know biology yet, but after that, before that point in time, like, long before that point in time, like, things stopped working. Like, no make a babies after, you know, a certain point in time. So they're basically what it's talking about, it said as good as dead. Their bodies are dead functionally when it comes to being able to create a child. But what does it say? Sarah believed. Hey, God said, you're going to have your own kid by yourself. And so they believed. And that was the next crazy thing, right? I mean, just think about how crazy that was. Romans 4, verses 18 through 24, I'll read that for you. Ties in here. Another good cross reference. That's my cross reference voice. That's my polite voice saying, if you're smart, you'd be taking notes right now, but I'm trying to, you know, jazz it up. Okay. Romans 4, verse 18. Who against hope, or I guess, back up, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead, and called those things which were not as though they were, who against hope, talking about Abraham, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised was also able to perform. So Abraham says, I know my wife can't have kids anymore. I know I can't have kids anymore. But he didn't even doubt, right? What did he say? What did he say? Being fully persuaded. This is what faith is, right? Faith is God says something, but guess what? I have to believe in something seemingly impossible in order to believe what God says. And he says, I believe God over the impossibility of that thing. It's kind of crazy. Now, lastly here, I'll take as long as I need to take to finish this up, because this is probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Flip to Genesis chapter 22. It does. I just kind of skipped that verse, but basically that son was born to him in Genesis 21. Okay, that son's name was Isaac. So he gets this promised seed. At 100 years old, God gives them a kid. Now, Genesis 22, I could give like 5 sermons on this chapter. This is the coolest chapter ever. If you like studying your Bible and you like typology and pictures, this has more pictures of Jesus Christ in it than you can like shake a stick at. This like literally tells you like 15 things about the crucifixion that all come true. So this is very cool. I would encourage you to read it. But this is the infamous, I will say infamous because people always use this to try to convince you that God's evil. I'll just start at the beginning of chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, now take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. Did you guys catch that? Have you guys heard this story before? He says, hey, oh, you remember that son I gave you? That one, the only one you got, the one I gave you when you were like 100, that was kind of a special deal? Yeah, go kill him. That's what he said. Go offer him for a burnt offering. Right? Here's an interesting thing I want you to look at. Look, what does verse 3 say? And he rose up early in the morning. Okay, if God asked me to kill my son, if I could convince myself to do it, you know, I'd at least be dragging my feet, right? This is how persuaded Abraham was. This is how much faith Abraham had in God. That when God says, kill your kid, he goes, all right. And now, there's a couple things I want to give you here. First of all, God would never actually ask him to kill his kid, because in multiple places in the Bible, I will give you these references. In Leviticus 18:21 and 20 verse 2, God condemns child sacrifice. So, like, I want you to understand that, you know, God's not about killing kids, but he wanted to test Abraham and his faith on something, on specifically the thing that he loved the most. There was nothing Abraham loved more than Isaac. And so when God wanted to find out, hey, who's number one in Abraham's life? Who do you have to test it against? The thing he loves the most. You have to test it against Isaac. And so he asked him to kill his son Isaac. So Abraham gets up early and gets up there and, you know, his kid, like, they walk to the top of the mountain. He, like, ties his kid up, sits him on the altar, gets the knife out, and is, like, ready to do it. And then Jesus calls down from heaven and says, hey, stop. Stop. Hey, there's a ram right over there. Kill that instead. Right? So that's the story that what's happened. And now flip back to Hebrews 11, verse 17 through 19. Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac.
And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. That's again, kind of ties with Christ, of course. Verse 18, of whom it was said that an Isaac shall thy seed be called. So, I mean, you guys understand, right? God promised Abraham that, what, his seed was going to populate the world like there's stars in heaven, right? So then, now God's saying, hey, go kill your son, right? So here's how smart Abraham was. Abraham had faith. You know, you and I would think that's contradictory, right? Hey, you said this guy was supposed to bring up forth all of my future family, and now you're telling me to kill him, right? Abraham had more faith than that. Look at this. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You realize that Abraham had faith that when he killed his son, somehow, some way, God was going to bring Isaac back to life. That's literally what he was believing in. Do you realize how much faith you'd have to kill your own son, having faith that the Lord would bring him back to you? It's a lot of faith, right? That's a lot of faith. Amen? Right? That's a lot of faith. So Isaac, he wasn't dumb. He said, hey, the Lord said that my line is going to come through this kid. So if he tells me to kill him, cool, I'm going to kill him. Not my problem. The Lord's going to have to somehow work it out because he promised me and I believe his promises. That's a walk right there. That's a faith with the Lord. That's a faith with the Lord. So this is the last thing, I mean, that I'll kind of look at here, right? Is that God asked Abraham to give up the thing he loved the most to test his faith. And we'll, as Christians, be put in the same situation. The question is always, what's the thing we love the most, right? What's the thing that you wouldn't give up for God? If God told you to give up this thing, if he told you to leave your family and go move somewhere else, if he told you to give up that relationship or those friends or that hobby that keeps interrupting all of your church time, right? If he did all those things, if he did all those things, right, would you be able to give them up? That's the kind of faith we're looking at. And so hopefully, we'll dig into this more next week. I just kind of wanted to look at these guys, but go throughout your week. Take some time here. When you're bored, like just once. You guys promise me just once when you're bored. Don't pull out your stupid phone and look at TikTok. Take 5 seconds, just like 20 seconds. Just think about one of these guys. Think about how much faith you would have to be one of these people and do what they did. And compare that with where you're at now. Would you be able to like, God's not going to ask you to kill your kid, but would you be able to give up the thing you love the most? Would you be able to give up your family? Would you be able to give up all of these things and go through all this stuff? Go through the isolation. Go through the unknowns. Right? Would you be able to do that stuff? And we'll talk about next week how we can get more faith. If you go through this week and decide, hey, I don't have a ton of faith, well, we'll talk about it next week. All right, Brother Alex, would you pray us out?